following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Brett Boone Podcast.
Remember when me and you almost went to blows? Lou sent me down three times too, so I know what you're talking about.
With your host, MLB All-Star, Brett Boone.
Bottom line is, you will become a successful major league hitter by hitting pitchers' mistakes.
As he sits down with his sports and entertainment friends from around the world.
You are not going to be a successful major league hitter if you hit pitchers' pitches.
This isn't just any former jocks podcast.
To change the outcome, you got to change the income. You got to change what goes in. Then that changes what goes out.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. Just like his bat flip.
Okay, now the party starts. The responsibility starts now.
Now in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I'm Brett Boone, and today on the program, I'm joined by a buddy of mine. I had him when he was just a young buck in the A's organization. Now he's grown into a star for the Atlanta Braves right before my eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Matt Olson. Matty, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Boone.
And congrats on all your success so far, and you got a long way to go, man. I knew when you were a kid, I said, this kid's going to hit 40 in the big leagues. He hit 34, 36, 30. Then you drop a 54 on me a year ago. You even blew me away. So congrats to all your success so far. Keep it going. Little context for the Brett Boone Podcast, how Matty and myself know each other back. I think it was 14 and 15 when Matt was in the minor leagues. I was a roving instructor for the Oakland A's, and I got to be a little bit a part of his young career in A-ball and Double-A. You had some good guys. We had some good players back. You had Matty Chapman, who's now playing for the Giants. Who else do we have? Ryan Healy, who got the big leagues.
Chad Pinder,
who played with you with the A's for 5 or 6 years. And Max Muncy. Yep. The A's, and then has had a lot of success with the LA Dodgers. So it was a good crop because it doesn't happen that often that you have, you know, Robertson, the shortstop, he got some time in the big league. It's not too often that you look back to your A-ball team and say, oh, we had five big leaguers off that team. That's a pretty rare thing.
Yeah, Manaea come along in Double-A too.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty cool. I just had Carlos Mendoza on for the Mets, their skipper. And down the stretch, what a crazy finish for you guys. I've never heard of, because of the weather, you guys had to finish a doubleheader a day after the regular season ended. Yeah. Take me through that a little bit. What was that like? You're going into, and that game one's unbelievable. You're up 3-0. You're down 6-3. You're up 7-6. You end up losing 8-7. Take me into the clubhouse in between games, because you've got to win one. If you lose two, you're out of the playoffs. Arizona's in. Mets, and the thing that was so bizarre is the Mets had just clinched. So you got the second game of a doubleheader. Mets are over there giggling. But at the same time, they got to be serious for the second game. You guys lose your big guy, probably the Cy Young this year in Sale. He's out, so you're going to go with the young kid pitch. He did a great job, by the way. Take me into that clubhouse in between games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, weird day all around, really. You know, something we've never really seen before. Like you said, that first game was one of the best games I've probably played in, as far as back and forths with, you know, everything that was on the line. Obviously, they came out on top. They had some big clutch knocks. You know, we had a couple. Ozzie had a big game, you know, giving us that lead late, but weird day, you know, losing the first one, coming back in. It's not your typical day night doubleheader, so we had like 40 minutes to turn it around. You know, I thought it was almost better. You know, you don't have to sit there and think about scenarios or anything. We knew coming in the day we had to win one game, and that was it. And then, you know, Sale not being able to go and Holmes getting the last minute call and going out and throwing the way he did was something special, especially, you know, I don't know if you know his story at all, but 10 years in the minor leagues, first round pick, and really getting his first taste of the big leagues this year. I thought it showed a lot about him and the competitor that he is. We had Joe Jimenez and Iglesias. They threw the eighth and ninth and, game one and gave up a few runs in both of those games and came back and threw eighth and ninth again in the second game in a tight game and shut the door down. So, you know, it was a cool day, weird for sure. That whole weekend there was, you know, I'm sure you saw the different scenarios that could have happened. And, you know, it was hard to not play the game a little bit of when are we going to be in the postseason? If we win what game, if they lose what game, but, I mean, you know, being a clubhouse, all you can do is really go out there and try to win. So, it was big for us to get in. Obviously, you know, once we got in, didn't go our way in San Diego, didn't go the way we wanted. But you know, we battled this year. There was a lot going on, a lot of you know, guys in our lineup that dropped out. You know, a lot of guys, I would say, underperforming, and you know, found a way to win 89 games and get into the postseason. And that's the most important thing, because you can get hot at any time. And you know, we weren't that team this year.
Yeah, it's interesting, Matty, in the new format, in the modern day format, where you get 12 teams going to the postseason. And as you've seen the last few years, Atlanta Braves have been in the playoffs 7 years in a row, won the division 6 out of 7. But it's just crazy. You know, a year ago when Arizona and Texas, I don't know about you, but I could have never predicted that happened, especially on the Arizona side, and everybody was against them. You know, they were in Philly, back against the wall, they win. Bruce Bochy just kind of threading the needle in that bullpen, getting to the World Series and winning the World Series. So you're right. At this stage, with this type of format, it's almost like a tournament now because it's so big. And if you get in and you have to play in that first round, you got 4 rounds. So I've always been saying, you know, back in the day, the 162, when there were less teams, it was tougher to get to the postseason. But it was probably easier getting to the World Series. Now it's easier getting to the postseason. Man, it's a grind, it seems like, getting to that World Series, because you just got to be on point. And if somebody gets hot and you run into a hot team at the wrong time, you know, things happen.
Yeah, man, look at the Tigers this year. You know,
unbelievable. Kansas City Royals.
If it's not the new playoff format, they're probably selling Scooble at the deadline.
Yeah,
you know, there's a smaller amount of teams, and they get in and make it to the DS, and you know, competing their tails off. You know, I think it's opens up doors for like I said, the teams to get hot and at the right time.
And as a player, the player in me doesn't like it, because I like that 162. I like the grind of the 162, and when you're standing at the end, I don't like everybody standing with me. Now, as an analyst, as a fan, I love it. It's great. I mean, I watch these games and they're exciting games. You know, when I was younger, I paid attention a little bit to the postseason, but now I watch it and it's like every scenario is like, you know, I just finished that Padres series. They were up 2-1. I said, no way the Padres are going to lose. Next thing you know, Dodgers are in the driver's seat. And we'll talk a little bit about those later. But I talked to Carlos Mendoza. I said, what are you thinking in between games? Because you're the skipper. You got a couple things. You've got to keep the integrity of the game. You're in the playoffs. I'm talking about after they win game one on Monday. Yep. You have to keep the integrity of the game. You know, everybody's watching you. But at the same time, once you're in, your biggest responsibility, I think, to your players, your team, is to put them in the best position to win in the postseason. That means keeping your bullpen fresh and for game one, because you had game one the next day. But at the same time, you can't treat it as a B game on a backfield in spring training, because Arizona Diamondbacks are like, hey, you got to play a little bit, play hard. And I think he did. He sat Lindor because Lindor was banged up a little bit, and I think that was acceptable. But the big boys were in there. Alonso was in there. You guys just beat him game two. You mentioned this year, I watch you guys pretty closely. I got some buddies. Walt Weiss is a good friend of mine, really likes Snitger over there. I watch you. So I pay attention to the Atlanta Braves and the run that organization has been on. It's been pretty awesome. But I was watching you guys this year, and it seemed like that Braves team's really good. They really pitch, and they've got offense. It seemed like you never really got clicking like you have in years past. And it starts off with you lose Spencer Strider, huge. Your ace at the top of that rotation. He goes down right away. Acuna, the MVP a year ago, he goes down. and then late you lose Sale. It just seemed like for the Braves this year, I just said, you know, just one thing after another just keeps happening. They could never get it going. You end up getting bounced. Or did you have that feeling like, or was it all along players going, it doesn't matter, just get to the postseason and see what happens?
I think that was the vibe in the clubhouse the whole time. I said it a lot in some post game stuff, getting asked about injuries, and I think it's true. You know, nobody cares outside of your own clubhouse who's down, who's not able to go in the lineup, and you know they're not going to cancel games because Austin Riley and Ronald Acuna aren't
ready. I didn't even mention Riley. I forgot about that late.
And you know, Murphy missed a big chunk with an oblique, and Mike Harris missed a big chunk with a hamstring. You know, it didn't feel like we were ever, at full capacity for, a couple week stretch. Like I said, it's part of the game and nobody cares. Everybody goes through them. Maybe we got hit a little harder than other teams, but we also, picked up some, good pieces that came in and filled in for them. You know, Gio Urshela, Whit Merrifield. Talk about some of the young arms like Holmes and these other guys that came up and Spencer Schwellenbach jumping in and able to do what he did this year. You know, it is what it is at the end of the day. Sure, I would love to have the guy who went 40-70 leading off for us every day, but, it's part of it. And, I think the mindset the whole time was screw it. We got to find a way to win. And let's try to get that hot stretch. But like you said, offensively, I thought our pitching, I thought our defense was awesome this year, but offensively we never really had those long stretches where, we were just all clicking together, maybe a couple guys here and there. But as far as, what we did in 23, we never came close to that really.
So you've been watching this postseason. I love getting a current player's perspective. You're fresh off playing against all these teams this year. Give me your quick scouting report of that. We'll start in the National League with the LA Dodgers.
Obviously we know the lineup is pretty stout. You know, those top three guys between Shohei, Mookie, and Freddie. Those are probably three of the toughest guys to get through in the game in one lineup. You know, good starting staff, solid bullpen. They slug, which plays in that stadium there for sure. And then, feels like they always have guys. Will Smith hasn't, swung it, his best, I would say, as of late. But, that's a guy who's done it for a while and knows how to have a pro at bat. Is amazing behind the dish. You're going to have Muncy show up a couple big situations. I had a big knock yesterday. It's just a good team and there's something to being there a lot and doing it a lot. No moment is too big when you're familiar with it, so it's a good club there for sure.
Yeah, I look at it and I thought, I sum it up. They asked about that offense. I said, well, when Teoscar Hernandez has the year that he had and he's like your fifth best player, your offense is pretty good. Did you get a chance, just for my curiosity, did you get a chance to face Yamamoto this year?
Yeah, I think it was his first start back from injury. So I think he was on a little bit of a pitch count. He didn't go too deep. But was able to, see his stuff a little bit. It's pretty good. He's got a little funk to it. He's a delivery is a little weird. Smaller guy, but the ball gets on you. And then, the splitters, the splitter is the real deal. A little 90-91 fall off table kind of pitch.
And I know it's different, but, now I'm dating myself right now. Hideo Nomo. I remember when he came to the big leagues and he had that big weird lineup or windup. And it was just, you know, 91 or 92, but it wasn't that fastball. It's that split. You didn't want to be embarrassed by that split. And that thing was nasty. When he first came over here, nobody could see it. No one's ever seen anything like it. And I think it was the deception in the lineup. And I am dating myself now, but I remember he kind of paved the way for the Japanese star pitchers that have come on. You know, Yu Darvish has had a hell of a career over here, and Yamamoto, excuse me, he was banged up a little bit this year, but we'll see. When you give that guy that kind of money, they must have seen something pretty special in him. Pitched the other day in that deciding game against Padres. He was money. So I didn't know that. I expected that, but he did a great job. All right, let's move over to the Mets team for me that I've been watching this year. I'll tell you, at the All-Star break, I'm watching this Mets team. They're dead and buried. I said, they got no chance to postseason. All of a sudden, September, like you were mentioning earlier, the Detroits of the world, the Kansas City Royals of the world, kind of came out of nowhere and got hot at the right time. And, man, the Mets just seem as resilient as any ball club out there. And they've got their staff pitching really well. Quintana pitched that deciding game to get to the next round, was awesome. Beat a hell of a Phillies team. Your thoughts on the Mets this year, what you saw?
Yeah, to me, they've been, you know, probably the most out of all the teams still left, that team that got hot at the right time. And that's not discrediting them by any means, but they're playing good baseball right now. You know, the staff between Severino, Peterson, Manaea, McGill, Quintana, to be able to have Lindor come back healthy and Pete, you know, clip a couple homers in the postseason and kind of get rolling. You know, these guys are good. They play scrappy. They're a good team all around.
And we'll move over. The American League. And Uncle Aaron's team, you know, my brother, they've been resilient this year. Kansas City game, a tough. I was thinking that game, then they end up clinching. I'm like, if they lose this game, they got to go face Reagans in a game five. That's going to be tough for them, but they got by it. What do you see out of New York Yankees this year?
I mean, Judge and Soto are definitely running that show. We played them once. You know, the stuff that Judge is able to do is incredible. Soto, one of the best at bats around. You know, a solid pitching staff, and you know, they got a really good lineup, a really good team. And they've kind of been the team that's been rolling all year.
The thing I see with the Yanks for me is, you know, they had Holmes, and he's been a pretty darn good closer in the big leagues for a while now. He stumbled down the stretch. They kind of took him out of that closer role, put him into the 6-7. He seems to be pitching again and has shored that up. Last team on the docket here is the Cleveland Indians. Everybody knows about Ramirez, their third baseman, perennial MVP candidate. But it seems to me that bullpen with Clase at the end is unbelievable. But it seems to me that this team is one of those teams that really likes playing together. They have that factor where it's they genuinely like coming to the ballpark and hanging out with one another. Your thought, last but not least, your thoughts on the Cleveland Guardians. I'm sorry, I said Indians, Guardians.
Yeah, I mean they're as scrappy as it gets. On base, stealing bases, able to move around a bunch. You know, got Naylor and Kwan, but you said it. The bullpen is to me the thing that's running the show there. You know, we faced them early on. A couple guys who I hadn't seen a whole bunch. You know, Gatta sticks out to me as a guy, you know, I hadn't really seen or heard of a ton, but was really impressed with his stuff. Everybody knows Clase. He's throwing pitches that nobody's throwing, nobody's seeing on a consistent basis. I mean, 102 mile an hour cutters with a 93 mile an hour slider, it's falling off the table. You know, they got a good squad and you know, they kind of feel like the team that they can make two or three runs play for a whole game, where, you know, some other teams, you know, you gotta slug a little more, push a few more across, but I tell you what, you get a lead into the sixth or seventh. It's going to be tough to come back on that bullpen.
Yeah, look at that Cleveland bullpen, and they are so good. Klaase just got a six out save the other day. And I likened it to, and that's why I thought San Diego was going to be so tough, and why I thought San Diego was going to move on, because they had a similar feel to their bullpen with the moves they made at the trading deadline, getting Adam and Scott to get it to Suarez at the end of the game, but it didn't play out. You know, Dodgers are there now. All right. I want to talk about the A's a little bit before I let you go. You spent a lot of time in Oakland. I remember, man, when I first came to the big leagues, A's was an open air stadium. I mean, you used to look out. It was kind of like Dodger Stadium. It, from home plate, you look out under the horizon. So it was a completely different ballgame. Then in the early 2000s, when I came back to the American League, it was that closed in, that the place that you played in, the Coliseum that you played in, that everybody on the outside gives a hard time. I'll tell you what, Maddie, for me, compared to the modern day ballparks, yes, it wasn't all that, but I loved hitting there. So everybody would bash Oakland. I said, but I get hits there. So I like going. And, you know, as players, we don't care what the facility's like. If we get hits, it's a great place to go. You played there for 6 years. And, you know, I didn't think at this stage, maybe it's just because I'm getting old, getting a little sentimental, but I was watching that last game in Oakland. You know, everybody had the countdown that it's going to be the last stadium. The person in me that his, the guy that thinks about baseball history, it's weird for me to think the Oakland A's aren't going to be the Oakland A's. I mean, they're just kind of an iconic franchise, had so much success. I remember from the early 70s, them winning World Series to Eckersley and the Bash Brothers and their run they had. And then the early 2000s when we had a pretty good rivalry with them when I was in Seattle. There's a lot of history there. And I didn't think it was going to be big deal. Who cares? I never played for Oakland, but I sat down and I was watching that final game and it kind of hit me that this is the last time they're going to be the Oakland A's. And I watched that final out. It was kind of weird for me. Like it was kind of sad and maybe I'm getting old and sentimental, but I was watching it and I'm like, that's a lot of years and a lot of history of the green and gold. And all of a sudden they're not the Oakland A's anymore. You know, they're going to go transition to Vegas in a couple of years. And I'm just thinking, for you that came up with that organization and played there a lot of years, you know, probably have a lot of buddies, not only players, but in the organization, guys not in uniform. Did that go through your mind at all, that last day in Oakland?
Yeah, you know, I kind of went through the same timeline as you. You know, when I was playing there, we had heard a bunch of stuff about, you know, potential moving, new stadium, all this. And I think I always kind of envisioned them moving, didn't know where it was going to be. But, you know, as I got removed from it and I've kind of watched what's going on there the last couple of years and, you know, get to that last game this last season and realizing that all that history is gone. Sure, it's not the best stadium. You know, not the cleanest, but I always thought it was one of the coolest places to play. Maybe I'm biased because they drafted me and gave me a chance, but, you know, when there's a big game, the fans showed up, all the names you said before, the names that they still recognize all the time there, it is sad to see that, you know, it's going to be going to a new city with a new fan base, with, you know, a whole new feel to it. You know, I've never really spoken, you know, poorly about the decisions they've made. I just hope that every, you know, avenue was explored. I think that would be the real sad part about it is if, you know, the effort wasn't 100% there to keep them in Oakland.
Yeah, and I saw that final weekend, and I watched Ricky Henderson, you know, a friend of yours, friend of mine. I played against Ricky forever. There's only one Ricky. But I saw him throwing out a first pitch, and then I had Brent Rooker on the program, I think, last week, and he touched on it. And he said, you know, Booney, I've only been there a couple years. This is all new to me, he said. But when it finally ended and when the players were on the field, we were kind of saluting the fans. He said it kind of hit me. It kind of hit him too. Like, wow, these fans, they really care. And you think about the fan base, you know, players, we're going to move on and we're going to go to wherever our team goes. And we're, our job is to play baseball. But those fans, especially the older fans, you know, I saw a guy with a sign that said, I was here. I forget the first game there, but it may be 1969. I was here in 69 and I'm here today. And mm-hmm. think of what that guy's seen in 50 plus years. Yeah, I guess it was just a moment for me. I got over it, trust me. But at the time, it kind of made me sit back and think a little bit, you know, like, wow, this is a pretty strange thing. Well, Matty, I'll let you go. I appreciate you coming on, man. And I'll continue to follow you. I wish you all the best. I'm proud of you. You're kicking butt, man. But get those Braves healthy and get the boys ready for another year. And I'm sure with a healthy Braves roster that you guys have, there's going to be a lot of success in the coming years. For those of you watching the Brett Boone podcast, we now have our own YouTube channel. Check it out. And for those of you listening on the Odyssey app or wherever you download your podcast, until next time, keep it here.